Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We continue to celebrate the great season of Easter. We're going to be celebrating all the way till the day of Pentecost, when we celebrate the day of Pentecost, which is the culmination of Jesus's incarnation, passion, death, and resurrection. Pope Benedict said that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost is the fulfillment of Jesus's mission. And that's because the outpouring of the Spirit comes from the Lord having been seated at the right hand of the Father in glory. You know, Jesus' resurrection and ascension, even though they happened at different times, is really one fundamental act, you might say, because he rose for the purpose of bringing with him human flesh, but his rising from the dead, having conquered death, and he rises now back to the presence of the Father, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, which means the Father gives over to him, you know, full authority over everything. And now he's seated in human flesh. And so human flesh is glorified in the person of Jesus. Our destiny is now set. The fundamental goal of your life and mine is right there. It's in the person of Jesus, which is why St. Paul and the other apostles would say things like, you know, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. I know Christ's life is in me, is what Paul is saying. I'm sharing in, I'm united to the person of Jesus Christ, who is where? He's right now at the right hand of the Father. And he's uniting all things under his feet. And his Spirit has come to dwell in me. And I'm part of that movement of Christ to unite all things in him. Because what he's going to do is he's going to bring everything in submission under his feet, under his authority, under his lordship. And all those who refuse to acknowledge his lordship, his victory over the power of sin and death, the will of the Father, he's going to ultimately separate from those that are being united. It's, you know, separating the sheep from the goats. It's what Jesus spoke about very clearly. But what we're going to see in the readings today, as we continue to walk through the celebration of this Easter season toward Pentecost, we see that the apostles were the first beneficiaries of Jesus' rule and reign at the right hand of the Father. We talked about it in Acts chapter 2. We'll talk about it again many times, probably over the years in this program. I don't know how many more we have left, but we want to declare the victory of Jesus because it's so crucial for us to be able to see it, understand it, so that we can receive it and we can live in it. This is how Christianity becomes transforming, life-transforming. If we don't understand that what we're engaged in is more than just a story, but it's a living reality and a story that we ourselves are brought into, and we participate in, and all the promises of Jesus are for you. They're not just for special people. They're not just for Peter or Paul. They're for all of us who are baptized into Christ and are willing to follow in his footsteps. So as we talk about the story like today, I want to talk a bit about continuing through the Acts of the Apostles. Peter and John, again, are brought before the Sanhedrin, who are trying to get them to stop talking about Jesus. We'll talk about the transformation and reflect on the transformation in Peter's life and compare it to our own lives, because the work that Jesus did in Peter is precisely the work, the nature of the work he wants to do in each and every one of us. And Peter's weakness and Peter's resistance, Peter's failure, is also manifested in each one of our lives. And we can see in his life that now Peter's been laid hold of. The Lord gave him a power in the Holy Spirit that gave him a new capacity to respond to Jesus at a new and a total way, to overcome the fear that was in him. But let's begin with Acts chapter 5, verse 27. It said, when the captain and the court officers had brought the apostles in and made them stand before the Sanhedrin, that's the religious leaders, the high priests and others at the time, the high priest questioned them. We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name? Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you want to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles said in reply, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses to these things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. The Sanhedrin ordered the apostles to stop speaking in the name of Jesus and dismissed them. So they left the presence of the Sanhedrin rejoicing that they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. There's so much happening in that passage. There's so much of the fulfillment, first of all, of the path of what Jesus said the apostles would walk. Everything they're experiencing, Jesus foretold. And Jesus not only foretold it, but he lived it. And he said, if you're going to be my disciples and you're going to follow me, you're going to get what I got. Because what's going to happen is the world's going to hate you just as the world has hated me. So Peter and John and the apostles, transformed now by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit and sobered and trained by their experience of walking with Jesus through his crucifixion and knowing that he's now risen, that he was raised from the dead, and he's at the right hand of the Father, they were strengthened and encouraged, not just because of what they saw, that was a big piece of it, but they were strengthened by Jesus himself. Now, the drama that we walked through during Holy Week, we saw that Peter would get caught up into the energy, the disordered energy of the mob and the anger and the rage that the religious leaders and others kind of stirred up in them against Christ. It was the devil's hour, Jesus described it. It was the hour of death. It was the attempt of the devil, who is the lord of this world, of the fallen dimension of this world, who wields the power of death, the fear of death over human hearts to create chaos and anxiety and fear and self-protection and all these kinds of things. And what happened that night on Holy Thursday and then the experience of Good Friday is Peter, who looked Jesus right in the eye when Jesus said to him, Peter, tonight you're going to betray me. And Peter, in full confidence, said, Lord, that's not going to happen. I mean, I love you. I'm following you. You can count on me. Jesus knew something about Peter that Peter did not yet fully understand about himself, his own inordinate self-love, his own fear, fear of being harmed, fear of being killed, which is a natural fear, but he thought he was stronger than he was. He needed to walk through that hour. He needed to come face to face with the work of sin within him, his fallen nature, and the power of his inordinate self-love. Jesus wants each of us to see ourselves in Peter and to see how Jesus restored him. There's a line, maybe you heard it during the telling of the story during Holy Week, when Jesus is arrested and Peter begins to follow Jesus at a distance. It's kind of a metaphor for what happens to us when we're beginning to be challenged by following Jesus. Like our culture right now, our culture is getting more intensely secularized. The church has a kind of stigma on it now because of its own fallenness, its own sins, but also because of what it teaches. Many of the big, beautiful voices in the culture today are telling the church that fundamental things that we believe and that we receive from God, we receive directly from Jesus, God's plan and God's purpose, they don't find worthy of belief. They think it's wrong. They think it's intolerant. They think it's bigoted. They think it's hateful. They think it's just wrong. And there's a kind of rage that rises against it and against God's will and purpose, which I've talked about on the program a few times over the last number of months. And so what we see is Peter now transformed. Jesus not only that night, while Peter was following at a distance and he had denied Jesus three times, just as Jesus said he would, there's a moment where Peter's eyes and Jesus' eyes meet. Imagine the feeling that Peter had in his heart, the realization. He did the very thing he didn't want to do. Friends, how many times do we do that? Do we make promises to Jesus and then we turn around and do the very thing we said we weren't going to do? Jesus knows our frame. He knows our weakness. He doesn't condemn us. He didn't condemn Peter. He loved Peter. Those eyes that were gazing at Peter were eyes of love, not eyes of condemnation, and Peter knew it. In fact, that probably made it even harder. But later in the story, which we've seen now in some of the readings post-Easter, is the encounter that Jesus had with Peter on the shore. I think it's partly even contained in today's reading in the Gospels. Jesus' appearance to Peter and the apostles, and he cooks up some fish on the beach. But he wants to know, he wants to see Peter. Peter jumps out of the boat to run after him. He thinks it's the Lord. He's been probably beating himself up for days. And then there Jesus is, and he runs to the shore, and he wants to tell Jesus how sorry he is. He falls at his feet, and Jesus really wants to know one fundamental question. Peter, do you love me? This is the center of everything. Jesus died on a cross. He bled and died out of love for the Father. He offered his own life as a gift to the Father. He loved the Father from the cross. He was abiding in the Father's love on the cross. He was obeying the Father. And he was showing us the road to absolute and total freedom. And he died on a cross out of love for us. And he expressed that love totally and radically. It's unconditional. It's all day, 24/7. And he's speaking to you from that cross. And he's speaking to you on that shore with Peter. He wants to know, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He asked it three times. Peter denied him three times. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Look who Jesus chose to be the head of the band, to be the first vicar of Christ, the first pope, the first point man, leader of the church, a man who denied even knowing him three times in the hour that Jesus needed him the most. Peter needs to know his weakness. That's why Jesus let him experience that. Peter needed to know how radically dependent he needed to be on Jesus, that he couldn't trust his own instincts, that he needed to just simply surrender in obedience to the Lord and do what the Lord called him to do and not to be afraid. And now he's leading the brothers in the drama of today's story here. He's standing right before the religious rulers, the same band of men who ended up condemning Jesus. And they're angry at him as well. They're angry because Peter challenged them in their refusal to acknowledge Christ and that they killed Christ. And so they're under blood guilt. They're angry. And they're saying, you must stop talking about the name. And you can imagine Peter saying, I'm not stopping anymore. I blew it that night he needed me the most. But he's given me a second chance. And he's given me the power to live a different way of life. And I know him. And I know where my life is headed. I know life is short. And I know I'm destined to experience what Jesus experienced and to walk in his footsteps. And this is my life. And this is my honor. And he turns to them. And he said, we must obey God rather than men. Friends, that's the moment the church is in right now. The church is always in that moment in the world, but in a particular way, in the West, in our own country, is the pressure to come against, you know, revelation from God. And God's people can never, ever say yes to the world over and against God's commands and purpose. The church, we have to stand. We have to resist. And here's Peter telling us, look, I'm a weak man. You saw me fail at the most significant hour, and I know you're weak, but there's a greater power in you and in me now. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us, and we're able now to stand for Jesus against this resistance. Friends, that's what's unfolding in your life and mine right now. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.